Micheál Martin, good morning to you.
Good morning, Sean.
Thank you for coming into studio there in Cork.
You're more than
listening
welcome.
To the Taoiseach with David McCullough on This Week yesterday. He seemed effectively to be blaming yourselves and Fianna Fáil for the fact that neither you nor his desired preference for a post-Easter election is coming to pass. He said, I asked Mr. Martin for assurances that he would be able to lead and deliver his own party, and it seems from the news today that he wouldn't, which is unfortunate because any Taoiseach or party leader needs to be able to have their own party behind them.
Yeah, it's extraordinary stuff by the Taoiseach, really. I mean, we all know from the choreography now that's what's going on. He obviously was planning for an early February election because he lost control of his own party. I mean, he lost three TDs, Sean. He lost Peter Fitzpatrick. He lost, obviously, a by-election. And he lost Dara Murphy. No, Dara wasn't around for 2 years, but he resigned just before Christmas, which really put the Taoiseach under some difficulty. And what you may not know, Sean, is that during my discussions with the Taoiseach last Thursday evening, he said to us that he wasn't sure of his own party and members of his own party in terms of support, and he mentioned Maria Bailey, for example, as a potential person who may not support them.
Well, we'll have to look for comment from the Fine Gael party on
But that happened, Sean. I mean, there's no argument. I mean, he said yesterday that he asked me about John McGuinness, and he did. And I made the point to him that over the last 4 years, Fianna Fáil has honoured its agreements in terms of voting arrangements in the Dáil, and we have facilitated the confidence and supply, and he couldn't take that from me. And that is the reality.
So if you couldn't be sure about John McGuinness, and he couldn't be sure about Maria Bailey last week. Yeah. What was the point in having another meeting planned for this week?
Because the Taoiseach already was clearly preparing for the February election. I came away last week in my own mind knowing that he was buying time, really. I mean, the fact that the President of the European Commission was coming here on Wednesday in a state dinner on Wednesday night suggested to me that there's a degree of choreography going on here, which the Taoiseach loves. I mean, he loves...
Well, in fairness now, every Taoiseach or every statesman would like that kind of
but it's not difficult.
Timing. I mean, he has, like, you've had the success in your constituency colleague there at the Taoiseach, Simon Coveney, as we speak, is heading towards Belfast if he's not there already. The Taoiseach is going there with Boris Johnson. That's a big, big achievement by the coalition. You'd have to accept that.
Well, no, Sean, hold on a second now. The reason, and I said it before Christmas, let's all get a bit of common sense and let's come back down to reality. The people of Northern Ireland gave a very clear message to Sinn Féin and the DUP and the political parties in Northern Ireland, get back to work. It was a scandal and a failure, Sean, that we've had no government in Northern Ireland for 3 years. An absolute disgrace, particularly with the impact of Brexit and the potential of a no-deal Brexit. And that's the reality. And I was on the doorsteps in the north with Colm Eastwood, and it was crystal clear to me that people were fed up of the abstentionism. They were fed up with the fact that politicians were not at work. And that's why we're now back. And thankfully, and I welcome the fact that we have a restored Assembly and Executive, because the people of the Sinn Féin and DUP didn't want Assembly elections. There was an imperative there, and that has happened. And
right,
that is
now
good.
Let's go back to your own party, Micheál Martin, and John McGuinness in particular, saying yesterday he was going to vote in support of a no-confidence motion, irrespective of what the rest of the party or the party line would be. Was he the only one, would you say?
Yes, I mean, first of all, look, John, in fairness, said that after he had just abstained on a vote of no confidence in Owen Murphy before Christmas.
And are you okay with that?
And John McGuinness has never lost a whip under my leadership in terms of voting against the party because he didn't do it. So we're now talking in a hypothetical sense of there being no vote of no confidence, and so the situation doesn't arise. But I'm very clear, there's no one can question Fianna Fáil's bona fides, Sean, in terms of honouring everything I said I would honour. Both before the last general election and since. And we didn't get enough seats in the last general election, and that's why we entered into the confidence and supply agreement based on policies. And because of the threat of a no-deal Brexit, we were not in a position to precipitate a general election, and quite rightly so in terms of the national interest. And we have no doubt the government did fail on health and did fail on housing to a degree which has caused a lot of suffering to people and has resulted in the highest levels of homelessness ever, and the lowest level of home ownership in a generation. And, you know, we in this election, what we're saying to the people is that there's a need for a change of government. There's a need for a new government that's more focused on providing solutions to the issues of this day, housing and health and the cost of living,
yeah, but
rather
on the,
than its
on
own
those
image.
Particular issues,
and this government has been far too worried about its own image as opposed to dealing substantively with these core issues.
And the Taoiseach spoke yesterday about how they had had to get the economy fixed to get people back to work. Essentially, the message, to quote or paraphrase John Downing in the Indo this morning, the essential message was that the other crowd wrecked the economy, we got things back on track, and that that could be undermined if we go back to the people who created the mess in the first place. In other words, your good selves and Fianna Fáil.
But that doesn't stack up, John. I'm not going to go through the global financial meltdown across the world that we experienced. And then, yes, mistakes were made in terms of expenditure and reducing tax revenues and so forth, notwithstanding Fine Gael looking for even more spending at that time. But can anyone say, if you go back over the last 9 years, we supported a fiscal treaty, for example, from opposition. We've been a very, very responsible opposition party in terms of fiscal issues and in terms of the economy, and nobody can take that from us. Michael McGrath, for example, was the first to come up with the idea of a rainy day fund and to put corporation taxes to one side. And we eventually forced that upon Fine Gael. And in the last 5 years, through confidence and supply, we facilitated from the opposition benches, which I would suggest to you, Sean, is quite unprecedented. We facilitated responsible budgeting over the last 5 years. And that's
something
that
can't
be taken
from us. But again, the other way of looking at that is you stood by for 1,000 days, you left these people in position where we're now in a situation where people are, and I just saw a tweet this morning from a guy, celebrated his 30th birthday recently, no house, no prospect of owning one in the foreseeable future. The only thing he was thankful for was that he had his health.
But the bottom line is they have failed, and nothing we did, we didn't prevent them from delivering on housing and delivering on health. I mean, we did force them to take on board the treatment purchase fund. I couldn't believe listening to the Taoiseach yesterday claiming credit for reducing some reductions in terms of people waiting for treatment. That's because we forced...
But do you honestly think your party has credibility on the health issue?
Bear in mind,
you know, I think your second appointment as minister after Bertie Ahern became Taoiseach in 97, I think was you went from education then to health.
Absolutely, our record
And you had the great big programme to reform health. And Sean, here we are worse than ever.
Sean, our programme in health was and performance in health, by any metric, was far superior to that of Fine Gael. They came into power in 2011 promising health insurance or healthcare for all, and they failed spectacularly. They had no blueprint for that policy. And James Riley did damage. He got rid of the treatment purchase fund and waiting lists.
Do you dispute the Taoiseach's assertion yesterday that Fianna Fáil were responsible for the closure of 2,000 beds?
No, well, we actually, during my time, we increased by over 1,000. We increased by 2,000 between 97 and 2007. From 2008 onwards with the crash, there was a cutback in beds. And that's a fact because of the economic situation. It wasn't done for ideological...
And that Fine Gael had begun to reverse that.
No, they haven't. They've been very, very slow.
1,000 new beds.
No, he hasn't done 1,000 new beds. And nobody, I've even read this morning, those figures don't stack up. And the bottom line is, in terms of... The real issue here is we've had three ministers. We've had James Riley, we've had Leo Varadkar, and we've had Simon Harris. And they've been interested in sound bites, in sort of saying anything to get themselves out of the latest crisis. But they haven't actually delivered on health. James Riley did enormous damage in terms of getting rid of the board of the HSE and putting nothing in its place, in terms of getting rid of the treatment purchase fund, in terms of trying to get rid of discretionary medical cards. And then with Leo Varadkar, who as soon as he went in wanted to get out of health. I mean, Varadkar's performance in health was very, very poor. I can't think of any single initiative he took in health.
Well, he got the actual start of the National Children's Hospital
Sean,
underway on his watch.
The
planning permission came through.
Sean, come on, you guys need to stop listening to the Fine Gael press office and spin. Since when did a government minister have any responsibility for a planning decision? That was a Bord Pleanála decision. I give one thing to James Riley. He did do the Dolphin report and so on, and that resulted in James's being selected as a site. But everybody had committed to a children's hospital. What he didn't do, and what Simon Harris didn't do, was control the costs of that children's hospital, which has gone from about 500 million out to over 2 billion. No, but Sean, you talked to me earlier about fiscal responsibility and budgeting. Fine Gael party presided over that hospital going from about less than half a billion in original estimate to nearly 2 billion now. We're gone from broadband.
But I think if we look at what has happened in the construction sector over the last decade and a half in this country, the crash was that happened on your watch in Fianna Fáil in government, and it's only now that they're starting to gear up properly, particularly say where housing and social housing is concerned. The Taoiseach saying that this year we'll have 25,000 new homes built. I think about half of those will be new social houses.
Sean, 7 years ago, Fine Gael said the bad times are over.
But he
said... Okay, sorry, that's what they said 7 years ago. They kept telling people the good times are here again. I don't buy that argument. No one buys that argument. The issue is then...
Well, what about his assertion that we've only had 2 years with money to spend?
No, I don't buy that.
To start addressing those problems.
They have not prioritised health. They haven't given the health services the priority that they deserve. And I've been calling for years consistently, and if you check the Dáil record, I've been calling them out in terms of budgets that never really met reality. And that they've been putting forward budgets for 3 to 4 years on health that were always going to require big supplementaries at the end of the year. And that's how it turned out. And if, for example, in terms of the current crisis, we all know that delayed discharges is the core of it. And they should have invested more in rehab beds, in terms of nursing home beds, and in terms of convalescence, and also in terms of better diagnostic scanning in our emergency departments.
And we've presumably had some home care packages as well. That will feature in your own manifesto. I mean, are you going to be able to convince people that you can actually change the game on health?
Yes. And I did it before in terms of issues like not just the smoking ban, but in terms of the cardiovascular health strategy. We transformed how we dealt with heart disease in this country and cancer care as well, and indeed stroke in terms of the new stroke centres that evolved from the late 2000s.
What about housing, Micheál Martin? That's a prime concern of many people, be they young or old, because if they're young, they want to get a house. If they're old, they want to get the children out of the house and able to get on the property ladder.
Absolutely. And I think that there's been a distinct failure from the government in relation to housing, particularly in terms of affordable housing. Now, in the budget 12 months ago, we forced upon the minister, we said we wanted 300 million put towards an affordable housing scheme to enable young people in particular to buy a house at an affordable rate.
And there are reports are going to increase that greatly.
But incredibly,
in their manifesto.
Incredibly, Sean, a year later, the scheme hasn't even been published. Not one affordable house has been facilitated by this government. And that's just a desperate indictment of their inability to deliver and get things done. They don't seem to be on top of it. It's like Simon Harris not meeting the Children's Hospital Board twice, I think, in a couple of years. Owen Murphy, we said to Owen Murphy, for example, there's a threshold, Sean, above which local authorities have to go and seek permission from the Department of Environment to construct housing schemes. It's at an incredibly low 2 million.
Right.
Right. We said 12 months ago, bring that up to 6 million. It was agreed. 12 months later, he tells us, well, the officials wouldn't agree with me. That's kind of the impotence, the incompetence that we're experiencing from
your
this government.
Case, obviously.
This inability to get on top of it, to deliver, to get things done. Whatever you say about Fianna Fáil, Sean, in the 30s, the 50s, the 60s, we built housing. And I have no problem with building council housing estates. I don't hold my nose at it, as some people in Fine Gael do. I believe passionately in putting a roof over people's heads. I believe passionately in giving people the aspiration to own their own
homes. Do you
homes.
Accept?
That's not happening right now. It's a failure of our society. It's a failure that we have so many children homeless and in emergency accommodation and they don't have a place of their own. I'm putting this commitment to the people that my passion to change that, based on what I've inherited in terms of our history and our commitment to do that, that's what I'm putting forward in this election campaign.
Right,
we
you
will
led
change
your
that
party
story.
Into two previous elections. Do you accept now that you've got one last shot at becoming Taoiseach?
Sean, I don't. And as far as I'm concerned, we will do well in this election. We're actually stronger now going into this election than we were going into the 2016 election. We have a very, very strong team of candidates across the country.
If you don't succeed this time, why should you get a fourth chance?
Well, Sean, it's not about Micheál Martin. It's not about the issues of housing and health and the cost of living and making this society a better place for children to grow up in and to avail of education and their services.
Yes.
That's what it's about, Sean. I don't have much patience or tolerance for, you know, who's in and who's out and the play acting that goes on
with
politics. But
how could you stay leader of a party if you fail at the third attempt to become Taoiseach, bearing in mind what we've said or what you've said about the health situation, the housing and the fact that there are 10,000 people in this country homeless, record hospital overcrowding, and if you can't become Taoiseach, well, I mean, when are you going to get better circumstances?
We're not going to fail in this election. We're going to do better in this election. We're going to win more seats in this election. And obviously there are other parties
But if you're not Taoiseach, that's what this is all about.
It's not
having a new government as you see it. I mean, if you don't end up in the Taoiseach's office, Fianna Fáil will have failed.
It's about a new government that can bring a new focus to improve the situation in relation to housing and health in particular. And that's, in my view, what will happen after this general election. And I'm putting not just myself, but the Fianna Fáil party and its team of candidates forward to maximise our seats. I think which is a legitimate legitimate aspiration to have, to increase our number of seats and to work with other parties then to form a government and to bring about a change of government.
Yes, and there's a lot of water to flow.
I'm not contemplating any other option other than that right now, Sean, and I think you'll appreciate that.
Yeah, fine. But, I mean, people will be interested in knowing, for instance, whether you're prepared to have another confidence and supply arrangement if you don't lead the biggest party, for instance.
In our view, I think we have demonstrated over the last 4 years our commitment to the national interest and doing the right thing for the country. People can always be assured of that from me and from the Fianna Fáil party. But our focus is very much on bringing about a change of government and to ensure a change of approach.
At the same time, though, you appear to have ruled out the idea of bringing about a change of government with the cooperation and the partnership with Sinn Féin. Why?
I have, as has the Taoiseach yesterday as well, and I've made it very clear that, first of all, I don't trust Sinn Féin in terms of in government, and my fundamental concern with the Sinn Féin party, as revealed in that book Burned, for example, is that people outside of the elected representatives dictate what transpires.
That's Sam McBride's book about the
heating initiative. And there's a very revealing passage in that where the Minister for Finance had to go to members of the Sinn Féin Ard Cóirle to get permission to cease the scheme.
You don't get over that, Sean, to sign a pledge that they will not be beholden to outside influences.
You don't get over that, Sean. That's a constitutional imperative.
Up to now, it was because there was the shadow of the gunman, be it Martin Ferris or Gerry Adams, whether he was or wasn't in the IRA. Okay, Desi Ellis is probably still going to be there. But can you honestly say that people like Eoin Óibrin, people like Piers Doherty, who has had a stellar performance in opposition, particularly where it shows where he's highlighted the failings of the insurance industry, that they are unfit to be in cabinet?
Sean, Martin O'Meara came across as a reasonable guy, but he wasn't in control of the finance department in the Northern Ireland Executive. That, to me, was a shocking revelation. I don't take it as a...
But you insist that they go into government in the North, but you won't allow them into government in this republic.
I think, Sean, you need to allow me to answer the question now without repeated interruption of this. I don't mean... You know my position. The North is different to the Republic. We've had to have a portion arrangement in the North to ensure sustainable government. That's the reality. But it's the PSNI and MFI and others pointed to the continued existence of the Army Council, not Micheál Martin. That is a fundamental issue within Sinn Féin. Is its commitment to the wider public, or is it to its own agenda and its own internal electoral base? We've had no government in Northern Ireland for 3 years because of Sinn Féin collapsing the executive 3 years ago, Sean.
In 1989. That was when you were first elected to the Dáil. And from the party leader down, Charles Haughey, the line was no coalition. And certainly, no, we're single party government. That's our culture. And yet, when the numbers came in, it led to Fianna Fáil going into coalition with the PDs. Surely it can happen again.
I was in the studios with you before the last general election. You asked the same questions, not just you, but others, time and time again. The bottom line is, I followed through on what I said I would do before the last general election, and I didn't break the solid commitments I made that time in relation to the formation of government and who I wouldn't go in and out of government with. And I stayed steadfast to that.
Simon Harris has been tweeting, by the way, listening.
Can trust me in relation to that.
To our conversation, clearly. Who's this new politician stroke agent of change on today's SOR? Oh, he's not new. He was in the cabinet that left the country bust. He was the Minister for Foreign Affairs who lost the European referendum. He was the Minister for Health who set up the HSE, a TD since the Haughey era. Simon Harris, TD.
Yeah, look, Simon needs to concentrate on alleviating the pressures and the hurt and the harm being done to people in our emergency departments, not trying to take cheap pot shots at politicians. I just said to Simon, get your facts right. I was the director of elections that won the second Lisbon Treaty and worked with other parties and civic groups. And my record in terms of Europe and winning that referendum, I think, is well known in terms of all of those involved. And I was not the direct elections of the first one. That's not to cast aspersions on anybody else. But I ran a first-class campaign in terms of the second referendum. No one can take that from me. And I'm an experienced person around Europe. I've been a former foreign minister in terms of those Lisbon negotiations. I was involved, by the way, in the devolution of justice in Northern Ireland. Worked extremely well with Sean Woodward, the then Northern Ireland Secretary. A wonderful personal chemistry between us.
In other words, your track record is as good as Simon Coveney's in foreign affairs, you would contend.
I was around the table, Sean, at the Good Friday Agreement. Simon Harris and yourselves and others are glad to remind me about being around the table in other times when times weren't so good. But I was around the table from the very beginning in terms of the emergence and the great work that was done in terms of the peace process.
Finally,
and the good
will you be around the
itself.
Table with Leo Varadkar tomorrow or in subsequent days? Is there any point, in other words, in that second meeting going ahead?
Well, I think the meeting was agreed last week and we will follow through on that. I think, and obviously the election is now on.
Micheál Martin, leader of Fianna Fáil, thank you very much indeed for joining us.
Today with Sean O'Rourke on RTE Radio 1.